People walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
This is a reading from the first chapter of Matthew, verses 18 to 25, and I'm reading from The Way, the Living Bible. These are the facts concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her fiancé, being a man of stern principle, decided to break the engagement, but to do it quietly, as he didn't want to publicly disgrace her. As he lay awake considering this, he fell into a dream and saw an angel standing beside him. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "don't hesitate to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you shall name him Jesus," meaning Savior. "For he will save his people from their sins. This will fulfill God's message through his prophets. Listen, the virgin shall conceive a child. She shall give birth to a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel," meaning God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel commanded and brought Mary home to be his wife. But she remained a virgin until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
We find many names for God in the Bible. Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He's described as a shepherd and a friend, as a lover, as a father and a mother, as a fortress, as a mighty God, and as a child in a manger. It seems impossible that one being, however big, can be all of these things at the same time. Those last two especially, how can someone be a mighty God and a vulnerable child in a manger all at once? We've been reading a little bit from the writings of Dietrich Bonhoeffer over December, who was a German priest or minister during World War II, who fought against Hitler and Nazi Germany. And a lot of his writings come while he was imprisoned in a concentration camp. And this is some of his writing, and this is what he says. He says, "In the Jesus child of Mary lives the Almighty God. Wait a minute. Don't speak. Stop thinking. Stand still before this statement. God became a child. Here he is. Poor like us, miserable and helpless like us, a person of flesh and blood like us, our brother. And yet he is God, he is might. Where is the divinity? Where is the might of the child? In the divine love in which he became like us, his poverty in the manger is his might." It's a weird thing to say. It was a weird thing for him to say then. It's a weird thing for us to hear now. Jesus' poverty in the manger is his might. God could have come any way God chose. And throughout history, God comes in many ways. God comes as a cloud. God comes as a fire, as a burning bush that isn't consumed. God makes his message known through mighty angels, with a booming voice, as a mysterious stranger, as a wrestler. The list goes on and on and on. But for this most important appearance, God chooses none of those. Instead, God comes as a child to a poor couple, a tradesman and an ordinary girl, perhaps to make clear who God is, that God is love and that God comes because of how much God loves the world. Let's wonder about that a little bit as we sing. I'm going to invite you to stand if you're able. We're going to sing, "I Wonder as I Wander."
Our next scripture lesson this evening is Luke 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Our next reading is a continuation from the last one, so Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. The shepherds and the angels. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the angel and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
So when I was a kid growing up, one of the traditions we had at my church was that we would put a parade in the local town parade. We would have a float, in the parade. And it would be a live nativity scene. So people from the congregation would dress up in the costumes of the characters, and off we would go. And my minister always loved to participate. And he was an older gentleman, and most of the year he kept a nice trim beard. But starting in September, he would stop trimming it. So that by the time we got to, you know, the end of November when the parade was, he would have this big, full, bushy beard. Not so he could be Joseph, not so he could be a wise man, but always so he could be a shepherd. He always said he didn't feel comfortable being someone called wise. He much preferred the role of the shepherd. Shepherds were simply everyday people in Jesus' time. They weren't particularly special, and yet they were made special by this visit from the angels and by their choice to go and see what the angels were talking about. And when they went and they saw the baby and the whole scene just as the angels described, they went off and they told people in joy. That's what makes them special. That is why we had a shepherd in our float why we have shepherds in our nativity scene, because they listened and they followed and they told. I have with me another nativity scene. It's made out of olive wood, and I purchased it in Bethlehem when I was there in 2016. And it has Mary, and it has baby Jesus in a manger, and a couple indistinct animals. Maybe Gracie could tell me what they are. And then someone who might be a shepherd or might be Joseph, because often in nativity scenes, for some reason, Joseph is a crook. And then we have the three wise men. And you might notice that there's a gap here. And the reason why is because the place where I bought it was in sight of the separation wall that exists between Israel and Palestine. And so she created to go with this set a wall. A wall that represented what would have been the barrier for people like the Magi to come and visit a Jewish family in Bethlehem. But she made it removable in the hope that one day that barrier would not exist. Now, I love this set in part because I think this wall actually makes a really good metaphor for our search for God, our search for Jesus. Because all too often, things get in the way for us, too, of being able to search for and find the baby Jesus. Maybe it's our busyness that keeps us from getting out and going where we'd like to go or reading what we'd like to read. Maybe it's our doubt as to whether any of it matters or any of it means anything at all. Maybe it's simple weariness of the cares of the world, of what we're going through. Maybe it's despair, feeling like there is no hope, or disillusionment about the whole thing. Whatever it is, many of us have walls that keep us from seeking and finding Jesus. And just like this wall here, those barriers, they're all removable. And one of the reasons we know that is because the people who were part of this nativity story, this story of Jesus, had those same things in their lives. Surely the shepherds were busy when those angels appeared to them. They had sheep to tend. Surely Joseph must have doubted what happened to him. His fiance suddenly pregnant? Him not involved in the process? It can't have been clear to him, even with the dreams he had. Mary's just given birth. She must be exhausted, tired from the travel and giving birth. The Magi must have been so disheartened when the star disappeared. When they got to Herod, and they must have seen that maybe something wasn't quite right with their conversation. We're going to read that story next Sunday. But what they all have in common is that God tore down those walls. God took away those barriers. But also those people allowed God to do those things. Despite their busyness, the shepherds did go to Bethlehem. Despite his doubt, Joseph did marry Mary. Despite her exhaustion, Mary did take time for wonder, for storing those things that happened in her heart. Despite the disheartening or disillusionment or weariness of the Magi, they did arrive. They gave their gifts. They went back another way and avoided what Herod had in store. God invited each of them, "Come to Bethlehem. See what I have done. See what I'm doing for you and for all of the world." And here's the thing. God welcomes you to Bethlehem too. Hear again the words of the angels. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the one who is going to save the world." Come, see, and share the joy you experience when you encounter the living God. This is the invitation that God offers to each of us tonight, tomorrow, and every day, no matter where you are, no matter how far away you feel, even if you're not sure God's there at all. God extends that invitation to you through Jesus. Amen.